Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Pointless Exercise Podcast. It's a special edition of the Bears Podcast because the Bears have hired a new Ryan and a new Matt. And with me to talk about it is my co-host of the Bear Podcast, actor-comedian Mike Pusateri. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing good, Andy. I'm filling up my piggy bank with quarters, dimes, and nickels to save for those Super Bowl tickets in 2023. I'm sure we're on our way.
I don't know what they're going to cost. $6,000 for the cheapest ticket out your way, right?
Something like that.
So as always, you can subscribe to the podcast at DeCipio.com. You can sign up for the Pointless Exercise newsletter at PointlessExercise.com. You can go to the Instagram at Instagram.com/PointlessExercise1. And Mike, how can people find out about you?
The website, MikePusateri.com, Twitter, at MikePusateri, Instagram, I am MikePusateri.
Okay, so the plan, at least initially here, is we're going to do what we did for the their post-mortem, in which George sat and babbled at us for an hour, and we played the podcast, or we played the press conference and made fun of him as we did it. We're going to at least do that for a little while here with the one from today, since the listeners seem to love that.
Good feedback. Good listener feedback. Now, the other podcast, the previous one, was funnier than this one, we have to say. So we had more to work with.
Yeah. Although I think there's things to make fun of in this one.
We have some things we can mine too. In here. Yeah, for sure.
When the new guy starts spelling things. I know you're a football coach. And just don't do that. Yeah. So the press conference today was to introduce the new general manager of the Bears, Ryan Poles, and the new head coach of the Chicago Bears, the great Matt Eberflus. And so in the newsletter today, I gave some suggestions to George, Ted, Ryan, and Matt. I think they read it. I think they listened to some of it. My suggestion to Ted was, don't go.
Yeah, that worked.
He did go. There. He was there. Oh, but you could hear, at times you can hear a small child. That's actually Ted. No,
Ted.
That would be Ryan Poles' daughter, who had a teddy bear that they gave her, and she wanted to play with that, apparently. There are a couple of photos of it, and sitting up against the wall, looking at the small child playing with the teddy bear, are George and Ted.
Nice.
So they were in the. So Ted was in the room, but Ted did not speak. Ted was not asking a question, so that's a step in the right direction. My suggestion to George was, just be brief. Yeah. Say who the new guys are. Kiss Bill Polian's ass one last time and go away. And he kind of did it. He came back later to cause a little bit of problems for everybody.
Yeah.
And then what I really wanted was for the new guys to, talk a little bit about just what the hell they think they're going to do with our favorite football team. And before we get into this, one of the things you had said on this podcast, which I think is absolutely true, and I think he actually kind of did it in a sneaky way, was because the Bears refused to hire a president of football operations, but Sweaty Teddy is the president of whatever. He basically said, I wouldn't take the job until they agreed to make me the other president. They didn't do that for Ryan Poles, but he's hiring people under him that they never had before. He basically has said, he's Al Hagen it. I'm in charge here. I'm the president. I don't give a shit what you call me. I'm just going to act like the president because I'm the president.
Yeah, that's a positive step for sure. I still think it was a mistake that he's not the president.
Well, and if he turns out to be good at this job, they're going to have to elevate his title or they're going to lose him.
Yes, of course. Right. I mean,
that's what these dopes don't understand, is that other teams didn't start inflating their guys' titles because they wanted to.
Right.
They did it to keep other teams from poaching them, to make it harder for them to steal them.
Well, yes.
The Bears haven't had anybody worth stealing, so they haven't had to worry about it.
And the other thing about this is that this is similar, though, to when they brought in Ryan Pace, in that there's still nobody to mentor Ryan Poles. And like Ryan Pace, he was not a fully formed executive. And it's nice that he has a straight line to George and Ted is out of the way, but does that really make that much of a difference when in the last conference, George told us, A, he doesn't know anything about football. He's just a fan. And B, he said he trusts Ted implicitly. So anytime there's any sort of an issue between George and Ryan, he's just going to go to Ted anyway. And Ryan doesn't have, you know, the president of football operations title to kind of combat that.
If I was him, I wouldn't even do that. I would just make the decision. I would just act like the president.
Right. Oh, sure.
Just absolutely sign off on it. George seems like such a wuss. Anyway, how much is he going to challenge on?
Well, but here's the thing. He, you know, I think a president of football operations takes the three coaching candidates, thanks the committee for their work, and then starts his own search. Now, you want to keep Matt Eberflus or any of these other guys in there, that's fine. But start the search. A GM is kind of like, yeah, we got these three guys here. What do you think? Yeah, I can live with one of them. Sure, I've heard great things about all of them. So to me, it's starting off in a very similar way, even to the down to the fact that they have identical names, Ryan and Matt.
Yeah, that was just weird. Yeah. He gets asked during the press conference about that, and he says, Potsy, Mark Potash asked him why he didn't just start his own, or how does he phrase it?
He says something like, why didn't you have the opportunity to do your own search?
He said, I did. I could have done it. I hired this guy instead. He gave a better answer he was on AM 1000 afterwards, and basically said that Eberflus was going to be one of his finalists regardless. And if he had interviewed him and felt like, I don't know that this is the guy I want to hire, he would have brought in more candidates. Felt like it was, and he went ahead and hired him. So,
I mean, he hired him the day he got hired as GM. He's interviewing Jim Caldwell.
Yeah, because the Bears stuck him with the guy that Polian wanted.
Right.
That's one of the things I enjoyed about this was apparently he really pissed Bill Polian off. Basically said, no, well, thank you, Bill. You did a lot of nice work. I'm sure you got paid for it. Go away. I'm going to pick a guy, and I'm not picking the 67-year-old who is all perpetually waiting for a bus.
Right, right.
We need somebody a little more dynamic than that.
That's a lot to ask him about. I mean, just got this huge promotion, this life-changing promotion. You know you're going to be on cloud nine, excited, talking to your wife, you know. You're just going to be so euphoric, and it's like, oh, hey, go interview this guy. He's waiting out there in the hall. He's waiting in Ryan's barber shop, and then
he's in your office.
He's in your office.
He's in it. You're not in it yet. He's already in there.
Right. And then tomorrow morning, you got to get here at 6:30 because you're interviewing the other two guys. Yeah. I mean, that was awfully quick.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I think you and I same. We're aligned here with Hub and Dan Pompey. And David Huh. That's like, well, why not Jim Harbaugh? That's the answer to all your problems, is Jim Harbaugh. Hire that guy. There's a dynamic leader of men.
Yeah.
Can't fail, despite the fact that once you hired a general manager, it meant you couldn't hire Jim Harbaugh because Harbaugh wanted to pick his guy. And the only reason he's flirting with the Vikings is because he worked with the guy they hired in San Francisco, so he thinks he might be able to shove that guy around and do what he wants. At the end of this, Harbaugh's either going to be in Miami or Michigan. He's not going to Minnesota.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
I have a feeling he's going to be in Michigan.
It would be odd that the owner, you know, said, I'm not going to hire Jim Harbaugh away from Michigan and then have him hire him away from Michigan to coach Miami.
But that's the thing, though. The only way I think Ross would hire him is if – I mean, Jim is – think about how ridiculous this is. Harbaugh is acting like he's willing to go to Minnesota to try to get Miami to hire him. Because the only way the Miami owner would hire him is like, well, fuck, I'm not going to let him. If he's going to leave Michigan, he's not going to Minnesota. He's coming here.
Yeah, but I mean,
that's the whole reason Harbaugh's doing what he's doing.
That's why it's such a silly statement to begin with when he made it.
Yeah. Well, the reason he made it is because he gave a bunch of money to the athletic department so they could give Jim a raise.
Yeah.
He literally was trying to do exactly what he said he was doing. Harbaugh's a weirdo. I don't know why.
He's strange, yeah.
I don't get why people are like, oh, I can't believe they haven't. And then the other, I heard Bonerchew was going on and on today about, why not Josh McDaniels? Josh McDaniels is also a weirdo.
Yeah, he is.
It's like, you know what? You can't. You can act like both those guys would be better than what the Bears had. We don't know that. I mean, McDaniels was not. The Broncos wanted to. The players wanted to kill him by the time
Yeah.
his regime was over there. Then he fucked over the Colts a couple of years ago, changed his mind at the last minute. Him and Mark Davis can get their matching haircuts and hang out in the desert. It'll be fine.
Sounds great.
Don't really need that here. I mean, I thought it made sense for the Bears to hire an offensive coach just because you're the most important player is your young quarterback. I mean, if you look at what they did in Buffalo, they didn't do that. Sean McDermott is a defensive coach, and they seem to have figured it out. So
Yeah, but
long
of
as
course.
I just want, there just needs to be a plan, and the plan can't be you hire some dipshit with a visor who's going to run the Andy Reid offense, and it turns out he doesn't understand it well enough to learn it himself, much less teach anybody else,
Right,
which is what
right.
they did last time. And I think in typical Bear fashion, they hired a defensive coach because they hired the offensive coach last time it didn't work.
Yeah, right.
Despite
They're
the
like,
fact that the reason it didn't work isn't because Matt Nagy was an offensive coach, it's because he's a dope.
because he was a bad
Just
coach,
don't
right?
hire a dope.
That's really the bottom line. Don't hire a dope. But we're talking about the interviews. To me, it's a one question interview. If you're interviewing the Bears head coach, which is why should we believe that you are the guy to develop Justin Fields into becoming an elite NFL quarterback? That's the only thing that matters. Because if you do that, everything else falls into place. You don't need, we've seen it's not that hard for a competent football team to build a good defense. We've seen that. We can build a good defense. We've had elite defenses even since 85. We've had very good defenses. We've had good offensive lines. We've had good running backs. You can do a competent organization can do all those other things. One thing that is really hard to do is to develop a Hall of Fame quarterback, which, as everyone knows, the Bears have not done since Sid Luckman. And that's really the only question. If you do that, if you're the guy that can develop Justin Fields into becoming an elite NFL quarterback, then you are going to be a Super Bowl contender every year. You just are. That's the most important thing.
Are you saying Rudy Bukich wasn't a Hall of Fame quarterback?
Well, Mike Phipps is my personal
Yeah,
Bears Hall of
well,
Famer.
the greatest NFL quarterback to come out of Purdue.
Yeah, clearly
I
it's
think
Mike
there's no
Phipps.
doubt about that.
Yes, it was. Well, he and Gary Danielson have to fight that one
Oh, that's true.
out.
It in the what it looks like to me that Ryan Poles did was he wanted to hire a head coach who is going to establish whatever the culture is that he wants in a football team. And the guys who played for Eberflus with the Cowboys and with the Colts, and of course the ones who are willing to get interviewed typically are the ones who like the guy. That's why you answer the phone when you get called,
Right.
is that yes, he's a hard ass, but he's a hard ass that people actually like. Like he's going to demand you have to do stuff and you learn. You know what? The reason we do this is there's a reason to do it. Lovey was like that.
Yeah.
I think people think Lovey was kind of this, oh, shucks, whatever. But the Bears, especially the defensive players, said Lovey was up their ass all the time.
Yeah, right.
Matt Nagy was not. John Fox had given up. Mark Trestman was incapable of it. The Bears
Yeah.
haven't had any leadership, any true leadership. Nagy wanted to be liked. The most important thing he wanted was he wanted the players to like him.
Sure.
Although apparently he didn't want Allen Robinson to like him. Because when Allen wanted to set up a chance to talk to him after the season 2 years ago, Nagy said sure and then refused to set it up.
Yeah.
So I get the feeling that that's kind of what. And I almost wondered if you work for the Chiefs, I think obviously you're in awe of the kind of offense Andy Reid can design. You probably also scratch your head at the wild, how undisciplined it all can be at the most crucial times ever, which they put on display
Yesterday.
yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's bit them in the ass before. And it was like, he's like, you know, I'd really like to have you know, maybe the head coach should be somebody who, you know, is a little more disciplined than what we've got. I mean, that's if you have Patrick Mahomes and you have Travis Kelce and you have Tyreek Hill, you can make that stuff work a lot. Bears don't have any of that, which Matt Nagy found out when he was frantically Xeroxing Andy Reid's playbook and then trying to run it with the Bears. And they're like, how come this guy isn't open by 12 yards? Well, because it's not Travis Kelce. That's why he's not open. Sorry to tell you that. All right, well, let's start here. George kicked things off, and I was worried that he was just going to loom over the proceedings the entire time. Thankfully, he did not. But he's now established a new tradition, which is anytime he has a press conference, he has to spend the first few minutes telling sports writers that he's sorry that one of their colleagues is dead.
That's right. That's right.
Good morning. Thank you for being here. Again, we begin with our condolences on the passing of one of your colleagues. You all know that Les Grobstein was a Chicago sports mainstay.
So John Greenberg is pretty sure that George would be a Les Grobstein listener.
The Grobber did more than capture the greatest rant in sports history. He talked knowledgeably about our local.
I was kind of disappointed.
Teams,
I really thought this was setting up to another lecture.
And fans.
It could have, yeah. You know, and if I wasn't clear enough last time, you high school punks.
He was a friend of many, many of whom he didn't even know. We offer our sympathies to Kathy and to his son, Scott.
All right, get on with it, George.
Thank you to Clark Hunt and the Chiefs, and to Jim Irsay and the Colts, and to all the teams who made candidates available for interviews, and to the candidates themselves for demonstrating to us their passion for our great game.
That they knew their how passion. To use Zoom.
I am indebted to our search team.
Because I didn't.
Bill Polian, Ted Phillips, Tanisha Wade, and Soup Campbell.
Soup.
We were a team in the truest sense of the word.
Yeah, I'll bet you were.
Each team member bringing his or her perspective and abilities and sacrificing for the good of the group.
But mostly Bill.
Thank you, Bears fans.
Mostly we do whatever Bill told us to do.
Bill, what do we think? We don't like this guy. I didn't
promise
think we did.
Bears fans, right. A thorough, diligent, and exhaustive process.
And thorough.
And believe we have delivered on that promise.
Now, hold on. I don't believe so.
14 days.
They conducted one in-person interview.
Candidates.
One.
And Ted, 10 head coaching candidates.
Ted, I mean, Ted.
There was diversity among the candidates.
These 15, 10 commandments.
10 commandments.
The members of our team.
I don't know. I mean, it was an interview
Ryan
plus
Bowles and Matt
a
Eberflus.
Car trip.
That's true.
Possess the qualities we're looking for.
And I found out, I know we know what George Tough. Drives. Do you know what George drives? It's not a LeBaron. I was sure it was
a LeBaron. No, I didn't hear it.
Same thing I do. A Honda Accord.
Oh, nice.
So I drive the same car.
At the conclusion of Ryan's second
as the chairman
Hall,
of the Bears.
We went around the room.
I don't know if his has 103. I'll bet it does. I bet his does have 103,000 miles on it.
With my intelligence, confidence, direct manner, and his plan to bring the Bears.
You know, it'd be funny. We should play the comments that George made when he hired Ryan, when Ryan Pace was hired. Yeah,
that's what this is.
Our team shared with Ryan our feedback.
It's the same sheet of paper, just with Pace scratched out.
Just Ace. All you only have to scratch out the final three.
He told me that two things about Matt were especially persuasive for him. Matt's unmistakable passion and the connection the two of them quickly established.
Oh, collaboration, which we hear that
it's absolutely critical that the general manager and the head coach are aligned on the vision and philosophy for moving the franchise forward.
I was told not to say collaboration, so I won't.
In Ryan Poles and Coach Eberflus. At this time, I'd like to welcome to the dais general manager Ryan Poles.
And watching George struggle with his mask was a lot of fun. We got to see it twice.
Yeah.
Like, so just how much are you wearing that thing, George? You think by now you'd have a handle on how to put it on.
All right.
Good afternoon. First and foremost,
Sorry.
I got to thank God for giving me
morning.
Right away, it's 11:04 in the morning when he said that. Of course, he'd been up since 3 a.m. because the only way football guys know to show how hard they're working is to never go home.
Yes, right. To make sure we videotape it.
Which includes George McCaskey, Ted Phillips, Tanisha Wade.
Yeah, we just heard this.
Why are we
maybe, guys, maybe we go over your notes with each other. We don't need to keep thanking the same people all the time.
Yeah.
From the time I met you, I quickly realized you were a special man. You're dedicated,
special,
passionate, and hungry
in the short
puts.
Right.
I still can't get over the fact that you met me at baggage claim and gave me a ride.
Yeah, neither, but nobody can get over that.
To get to know me at a deeper level.
Can't believe you made me fly commercial instead of a private jet.
And that told me everything I needed to know about you and this franchise.
Drinking water before.
That didn't work.
If you're...
Oops.
Do you know what?
I didn't get here on my own.
No, you got here with George. Around me. Got a ride.
And that starts with my wife and kids.
What airline do you think they flew him in? Spirit?
Spirit. Had to be. Yeah. Had to be Spirit, yeah. With a layover. Like, you know, we could fly him direct from Kansas City.
Well, we could save $29 if he goes through Guadalajara. Well, all right. That seems fine.
You could, Ryan, you're connecting out of Duluth. What?
Well, I have an interview with Minnesota. Maybe I could just move that. No, it's not going to work. You have to fly there, and then you're going to fly here. Then you fly back on them.
Right. Yeah.
I thought it would be funny if he. There are no jokes in this. That's the problem. There should. I mean, liven it up a little. Because I would have said something like, "George, I really appreciate you coming to pick me up. I wish you hadn't been in such a hurry that you made me leave one of my bags at baggage claim because you didn't want to pay the $3 for the second hour of parking."
Right.
But that's fine. I picked it up on my way home, and almost all the stuff was still in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe
so,
could have drank a beer like Jim McMahon did.
George's explanation for why he did that was, I wanted him to know just how much we, how interested we were. And I wanted him to get a chance to see Hallis Hall. Where were they doing the interviews then? Like in the Swedish Pancake House somewhere else? I have a feeling he was going to Hallis Hall. You could have given him a tour regardless.
I think so.
The worst part of that is that George did it, and the candidate not only ended up coming, but now is talking about how that was. George is going to drive everybody. He's going to pick up all the free agents. Pick them up at the airport and then be like, "What is? Who is this dude?"
Yeah, well, George's going to have to get a bigger car then.
I don't know. The cord seats 5 comfortably.
So yeah.
Maybe 2 offensive linemen in the back.
Here today. Thank you for having my back and pushing me to always want to achieve something higher. I want to be clear, though. Although I will pour myself into this organization, I will always be there. I'll be present and continue to be a great husband and father. A
little dry heaving in the middle of the press conference, always a good sign.
For consistently preaching hard work and respect and an emphasis of perseverance, leaning on the phrase, you got to go through something to be something.
Huh? Is that a thing?
If it wasn't for those cornerstone characteristics, I wouldn't be here today. There's a lot of people that have been a part of my journey and the reason why I'm here, and I can't name them all.
But I'll try.
I apologize for that, but I got to mention a few. Clark Hunt and the entire Chiefs organization. Brett Veach.
Oh, starting to cry.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Andy Reid. John Dorsey, Chris Ballard, Scott Pioli, Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz. That's good. Nice. Ted Cruz got a shout out. Cancun Ted.
Cancun Ted. Wow. How did that get in there?
A few of those that have reached out to
my favorite senator, Ted Cruz.
As well as open the door for future advice. Tony Dungy, Bill Polian, Rod Graves, Kenta Gunter.
Wait a minute. What? He thanked Bill Polian? Wait, was this a setup?
I think it might have been.
This was rigged from the very beginning.
The Bears and Chicago have long been a part of me, starting in 2008 when I was an undrafted free agent here. And it's amazing to see this building and what has been done. Funny stories, I remember being back in Bourbonnais in the dorm, being woken up in the middle of the night with the tornado sirens going off, and the tornado had hit the ground not too far away. They shuttled us down.
That's hilarious.
To the basement in the middle
of
the night.
Great.
And everyone, you know, was groggy. But there was a moment I picked up my head, and the basement of this dorm was the laundry room. And I saw Bears legends, Brian Urlacher.
First-class accommodations.
Tina Tillman, Devin Hester, and Olin Krutz as we waited out the storm. Then fast forward. I'm proud of this.
Were they doing laundry?
When I rolled out the
I don't understand what the story was.
I rented a sailboat. And I took my future wife out past the Navy Pier, where I took a knee and proposed to her.
The Navy
it
Pier?
Just so happened fireworks went off.
The Navy
right
Pier.
Right about that
the
time.
Navy Pier.
Was he in a rowboat? Is that what he said?
Part of the plan.
I think he said sailboat.
What am I about? And how? And what's my philosophy? We're going to build through the draft.
We're young, well, too bad we don't have any picks.
Football players. We're going to be selective in free agency, and we're going to connect evaluation with valuation.
Football guys love things that
approach to fix
like
our weakness.
Wordplay.
Sound,
love
sound
wordplay.
Wordplay. Yes, big wordplay guys.
Self-awareness of who we are.
We're going to. You know what the greatest ability is?
Open communication and candor.
Availability.
There you go.
Yeah.
And we're going to
hear it all the time.
Put players in position to succeed. And the last thing, the most important piece, is we're going to take the North and never give it back.
Yeah!
Woo-hoo! Yeah! Bear down! Bear down!
This head coach search started.
That goes down in the Bears annals with Lovey. We're going
to
beat Green Bay.
General manager,
mm-hmm.
I began looking for specific traits that define a successful head coach.
At least for a while. Half his tenure.
The results were leadership, poise, emotional intelligence, a developmental mindset. Discipline, detail, toughness, and energy.
I mean, you're really describing any head coach, right? In the introductory press conference.
Gamers, Super Bowl champions, CEOs, players.
I was looking for somebody who is indecisive, easily confused.
I was also looking for a
passionless.
To create an elite
doesn't quite understand the rules.
Walked in the door and interviewed.
Doesn't want to be here.
But you guys fired Matt Nagy, and so I had to go find somebody else.
Just in it for the paycheck. I want a guy that's going to phone it in.
I want a guy who wants to just barely miss the playoffs so that he can avoid the pressure and get a few extra weeks off.
Most importantly, he wanted to do all of that with the Chicago Bears.
I want a guy who likes the view. Likes to watch
he basically laid that all out to say, I wanted a guy who wanted this job. Who was willing to take it? And here he is, Matt Eberflus.
Oh, there it is.
Hey!
Good for thee. There it is. Oh, the applause is deafening.
No applause, huh? Come on. Get it working in here, right?
Okay, so I want to pause it for a second there.
Yeah.
That does show the difference between the Bears and every other team in town. So, like, the Cubs would have rolled in a parade of staffers whose only job literally would have been to have applauded when the guys got introduced.
Exactly.
It would have, it always pisses off the writers, the reporters, that they're there, but that's why they're there. Well, and Al Yellen in the back, because he gets invited to that shit, too. Having a creepy girlfriend stand in the back and eat, literally, like, grabbing cold cuts by the handful off the tray back there and clapping. So it probably was a surprise. I think, honestly, the Bears are one of the few teams that would not have had some ringers in there to clap.
Yeah. Well,
so he's kind of like, what, nobody? Really?
Why couldn't Ted do that? Ted's there. Why wasn't he clapping?
This would have been a great time to have brought out the Eberflusies.
Yes.
The new cheerleading team for the Bears and have them lead it.
Right. They're
shaking their pom-poms around. I'll bet you Hub and David Huff would have started clapping.
Yeah, for sure they would. Yeah.
I didn't notice. You can't notice it on this press conference thing so much, but if you see the hard-hitting interview that the new coach did with Jeff Joniak, they got some close-ups. I'm going to say that he certainly has changed the complexion of the Bears head coach in a rather ruddy way.
Okay.
Yes. He's a kind of a rough-looking guy.
Is he? Well, you're right, because you can't really tell that in this press conference.
No. You can barely...
barely see. You can barely hear it to start. They finally turn the volume up.
Well, the you notice though the mics were nice and loud for the questioners.
Yeah.
Like when somebody asks a question, that you'd have to like quickly turn the volume down and then turn it back up for the answer. It's like, all right, good job. Kind of like both halftimes yesterday, where you couldn't hear anybody.
Right.
I love, when it happened in the CBS game, you thought, well, at least Fox will figure this out. No.
He couldn't figure that out. Terrific.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, so here is.
By the way, George drives a Honda Accord, yet Hyundai is sponsoring the press conference here. So that's.
Yeah, you think they would have at least provided a car for the chairman?
Well, why doesn't he drive a Hyundai? Okay.
I don't think George knows how anything works.
Okay.
So here is the future legendary coach of the Bears, Matt Eberflus.
Okay, this is a special moment. I mean, for Ryan and I and our families. And first of all, I'd like to recognize God for His wisdom.
He was there.
Hey, God!
Holy
in
man!
This moment in the process.
God, really everybody, turn around. He's in the back there. That's him with the flowing robe and the.
Thank you to George. I appreciate you, George.
Magnificent.
Kasky family.
I appreciate you, George.
You're awesome, man. I appreciate you.
You're awesome. Sounds like Chris Farley.
That was coaching selecting me.
That was awesome.
Remember that time you hired me as head coach?
Team,
that was awesome.
The search team
was
great. Awesome. You know, I've been through several interviews. You know, over the last.
I've interviewed everywhere. Honestly, nobody would hire me, and then you guys did. So this is cool.
Yeah, I've been through several luggage claim areas.
Honestly, I needed a job. I don't know if you saw the last game. All we had to do was win to get in the playoffs, and we lost to the Jaguars. And I was probably going to get killed. So I'm really excited to land here and get a raise.
I had a lot of time because my team was not in the playoffs. So which I see is a great thing. I hope that was awesome.
During my formative years, you know, my father was an electrician, blue collar guy.
Yeah, this didn't go anywhere. I was expecting some kind of like
mom that nice her
electrical
story.
Anecdote coming ethic, up.
Yeah,
dad was an electrician. On to something else.
Love. So I really carried that on to my.
Actually, if any of you need, maybe you have a light you need installed, swap out a ceiling fan. Give me a call. I'll send dad over. He is always looking for work.
Love a fellow staff member. I think that's an important
1-800 Eberflus.
I do want to thank the Indianapolis Colts, Jim Irsay.
Why are we thanking the Colts again and again and again?
I want to thank Jim Irsay, and excited to work with George, who will be far less drunk than Jim. George, are you addicted to pain pills? No? All right. We're cooking with gas already. It's good job.
Great examples for what makes a master coach.
Master
when I was
coach.
Coming up, I was fortunate to get a job at 22 years old at the University of Toledo, for a guy named Gary Pinkel. And he's been special all the way through my career.
Good old Pinky.
Why do you call him Pinky?
Hall of Fame, College Football Hall of Fame this year. And what an outstanding example that he had for me at a young age. And I was with him, I think, 17 or 18 years.
So I don't know.
Unbelievable.
I couldn't possibly have figured that out before the press conference. I was here 10, 12, 17 years. I don't know. It was a long time.
Coach, and he showed me how to take that to another
time
level.
Is relative.
And, thankful to him. I got a chance to play for a guy my junior year that showed me how to come into an organization.
Oh, yeah, watch this name that gets dropped.
Change the culture and change the mindset of that. And I was living it because I was a player. And I stayed in touch with him, and that's Nick Saban.
Maybe you've heard of him. Wink, wink. Nick Saban.
Rings the bell.
Pat Cachardo.
I played for him.
Over in Toledo, Ohio. Unbelievable passion for the game, and I appreciate that.
He ditched us for Michigan State after about a week and a half,
like
but still.
Really have a statement really to the Chicago Bears players and fans. Okay, we.
Don't get your hopes up.
Play at a high tempo.
Be patient. End of statement.
Style, built upon speed, quickness, and explosive athletic ability.
Speed and quickness
we will
and
ourselves
explosiveness.
With an attitude of energy, passion, and intensity. We'll play with maximum
effort. These are all synonyms.
On every play. And my next piece of advice for the players, for sure, is get your track shoes on because we're running. And then people always ask me, hey,
Jason
how
Peters
do you
just
get
retired.
Football team to play hard, to play fast, to play physical.
Enjoy your run, coach.
Exactly what they're supposed to do. How do you do that? You know, that's always a question that I get asked, and it's a foundational piece.
Oh, here we go.
So What we want to do is build the foundation. Okay, in this first year, we want to build this foundation of what we're going to look like.
All right. Now, okay. Shouldn't he have? Okay, he brought up Dad's an electrician.
Yeah.
Shouldn't this convoluted explanation have had something to do with like how you wire something or just build off of that instead of the rote? You gotta build the basement before you can build the first floor or whatever. Because actually, you don't need to. You don't need a basement unless you know.
Right.
There are houses that don't have basements. I was a little confused by all this, but this is every football coach I've ever had or worked with.
Yeah, or listened to, or any of them in any locker room.
They think this shit is so profound. And they go to a coaching clinic and they hear it and they're like, oh my God, this is great.
Yeah.
And you go into any locker room, especially they get less as they get higher up. But if you're in a high school locker room or a college locker room, there are these inane sayings printed up and plastered all over the place. Like, this is just dripping with significance, and it never is.
Right.
But when he gets to the thing where he's, it's coming right up, right? When he does he explains the acronym HITS.
Oh, yeah. No, boy.
Now, if anybody who's a University of Illinois football fan immediately got into the fetal position, because there's the famous, Tim Beckman thing from Big Ten Media Day, I think his second year on the job, where he walked through what OSKEE, OSKEE, means. And he got completely lost in the middle of it.
You're right.
And the first E is, wait a minute. No, that's not right. The first, and I give Matt credit. He got through this. It didn't make any sense. And I don't think he really knows what an acronym is, because certain letters have like six words after them instead of just one.
Right.
But he, I guarantee you, he's already got the t-shirts printed and they're in everybody's locker. When they show up for minicamp, they're going to get their hits shirts.
Yeah.
And their track shoes, because we're going to be running.
Their hits shoes and their track shoes. Right.
Does he think he got hired to be the cross country coach? I'm a little concerned.
Is he like Bob Einstein when Albert Brooks goes to, in Modern Romance, goes to the sporting goods store? buying track supplies. Why do I need two? What if one's in the wash? Well, maybe I won't run that day. I'm sorry, I thought you were serious.
What Chicago fans, alumni, okay, can be proud of.
Wait a minute, are we
in the foundation?
Are we alumni fans?
Hustle. We're going to be an effort-based team.
Effort-based.
Okay, that's
good.
The number one piece.
Hustle,
we're
effort.
Have
H-E.
Ways,
is that right?
For H-E.
H-E?
Performance that are going
to,
because I think we're still at H.
Every single rep, every single practice, every single game. It's going to be an effort-based team. So
okay.
That's
e.
The H part. Okay.
No, that's E. Effort is E. Okay. It's not H.
Is the I is the
I.
Yeah. We will play with maximum intensity.
Okay.
Focus.
Maximum intensity is an M.
Focus,
that's MI.
But also physical.
So we're at EM. All right.
We're talking about EM. And he said physical. So physical intensity. So EM, PI.
Defense, kicking. So that's going to
kicking.
Be
okay, where's the K?
We got offense. We have ways to measure and be very detailed with those.
Okay.
The next T is
got a
taking
ruler.
Care of
gonna
the
measure
ball
things.
And taking the ball away.
You say the next T? The next T?
The next T. So E-M-T-T? Is this where we are? I'm lost.
George, I'd like to buy a vowel.
Okay, as being smart, situational.
Last one is S.
So smart.
Being a smart guy. Like you. You look like a smart guy down front. Who are you? I'm Jesse Rogers. Why the fuck are you here? Is because baseball's locked out?
Okay, being great in red zone. Third down, 2 minute, okay, backed up, and being smart situational player.
Backed up.
Backed up. I'm backed up right now.
Taking care of the football, backed up.
Taking it away and being smart.
Take your Metamucil. Our guys are going to take Metamucil. They're going to like it.
And I'm excited about getting to work with the coaches.
They're going to get their shoes.
Once we get our coaching staff in here and developing that.
So I think that went well. I think explaining hits was really well done.
That's all I had.
Oh, that's all I got. All right. All right, you bastards, start asking questions. I'm done. First one, if I had been there, would have been. Okay. Could you walk? I missed a couple. Could you walk us through hits again?
What does the H stand for again, Coach?
H, that was effort, right? Is that is the H silent in effort? Is that what you were getting at? I'm a little confused. All right, question time.
Here we go.
Adam Hoagie or Hoag got to ask the first question, I think.
Oh, see.
Matt, this is for you. Adam Hoag from NBC Sports Chicago.
You're right.
Congratulations.
I am.
You obviously have the defensive background.
What is your offensive philosophy?
What do you believe in, and how do you think?
Are you going to run an offense?
What's here specifically?
Just going to punt.
Yeah. So the philosophy of the team is really what I stated there in terms of the foundation.
I just spelled it out for you, Adam.
We didn't understand that, Coach.
You want to go back through hits again? Effort, Metamucil, all that stuff. One of those.
Obviously, taking care of the ball is the most important thing.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a real modern offense. We're going to take care of the ball. Okay, great.
We're going to run the ball on running downs. We're going to run the ball on passing downs. And then we're going to punt. And then we're just going to steal the ball on defense and score. You guys went to two Super Bowls doing that. I don't know why you think we need to change it.
As Fielding Yo said, we're going to hang on to the football. Great.
Trying to get the scrum put back into football. George is going to try to get on the rules committee.
Good morning, guys. Ryan, you've come from an organization that's had a successful run throughout most of your time there. This organization has sustained success for a long period of time. Out of the gates, what are some of the organizational flaws and weaknesses here that you want to strengthen as fast as possible?
Where should I begin?
Just covered all organizations. And one of the biggest things I've learned was getting everyone on the same page.
They're not even on the same book around here.
The personnel department are speaking the same language. The personnel staff are acquiring the players that fit our system, then we're going to be off to a good start. And I've been in this situation. It hasn't always been all great in championships. There's been
we used to suck with the
process
Chiefs.
To get to where that team is right now.
Okay, so this becomes a theme. He didn't answer that question at all.
No.
And then they're going to get asked several times to talk about who are the players on the team that you're going to build around.
Right.
They only mentioned two current players by name in the entire press conference. Justin Fields and Roquan Smith.
Yeah.
They don't mention anybody else. Eberflus talks more about Brian Urlacher, Charles Tillman, Julius Peppers, and Lance Briggs than he does about anybody who's on the current roster. And I think the reason for that is basically don't get too attached to anybody but the two guys we mentioned. Because we got left without it. We got five fucking draft picks.
Yeah.
And we got to turn some of these guys into more of them.
Right.
So.
I think that could be
it. I kind of liked how I was really surprised that the media didn't push back or at least just offer up guys. I would have just started doing that. What do you think of Jalen Johnson?
Yeah, right.
What do you think of? Because they clearly weren't going to volunteer that information.
Yeah. How are you going to use Khalil Mack? What are you going to do with?
Are you going to lose? Are you going to use Khalil Mack? You know, are you going to trade him? One of the things they didn't get asked was that somewhat out of necessity, the Colts are not built like they have a really good defense under Eberflus. They didn't play with like dominant rush ends. They didn't get a lot of sacks.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess a good question for him would have been, do you wish you'd have had him with the Colts? Or do you not care if you have him here?
Right.
I mean, our big play Bob and Khalil on the way out to create cap room and more bodies for other people. Well, let me tell you, the first H is for effort. Like, no, you. Ah. He should have answered every question with the explanation of HITS.
Yeah, he should have just brought it back. Well, that's a good that's a T, right? That question's a T. So we'll talk about a T.
You guys are getting it. And then he just reaches over, right. He pulls down the Hyundai backdrop, and there's a whiteboard. And he just starts like drawing stuff on the thing. All right, well, how many T's we got? We're playing hangman over there.
You, Adam Hoag, how many T's? How many T's do you see here? I don't know, Coach. What are you talking
Club,
about?
Club, do you want to buy a vowel?
Hub Arkish, guys, from Pro Football Weekly and Strata Media. Yeah. Congratulations. Ryan,
thanks,
for you,
Hub,
the
I guess.
Bengals 2 years ago.
Hub's like, congratulations on having a job. I don't at the moment. Are you hiring? No, sorry, Hub.
In football, now they're in the Super Bowl. Do you see this as a rebuilding situation or just a reloading situation? Do you think you can be competitive immediately?
Yeah, absolutely do I think we can be competitive. And the beautiful thing about football is what we just saw with the Bengals.
He's like, it's a great thing. You don't even need an offensive line. Why would we spend a penny on it? They don't have one. They're going to the Super Bowl.
We all know it's fluid.
They can't block anybody.
So we're going to attack it, and our goal is always going to be in contention and win games.
Our goal is to win games.
Ian Miller from ABC7 here in Chicago. Ryan, my question for you is, what is your familiarity with Justin? What are your evaluations
Justin
of
who?
Justin Fields?
With who now?
Do you feel he needs to take that next step and be that quarterback that the Bears need?
Nick Foles is our quarterback.
Watching Justin a lot. I'm close with Ryan Day as well, the head coach of Ohio State.
Maybe we should hire him.
Like any player, support and development. Getting back to the details, doing the fundamentals, and taking the approach to get – you know, reach that ceiling. And that's hard work. That's detail. And, you know, I'm excited to see him grow.
I didn't say anything. It said nothing.
Jason Leisure with the Sun-Times. As a longtime defensive coach, what are your thoughts about being accountable and in charge of the offense going forward?
Yeah, I'm excited about that, working with Luke.
It's awesome. It's going to be awesome.
To the principles of our football.
I'm used to having us try to steal the ball. They just give it to you on offense.
I don't know if you see it. The referee just actually hands me the ball. And then you get to prep.
Whoa, look at this.
I talked about those foundational pieces. So that's going to be a work in progress all the way through. Yeah,
it's been a work in progress.
Got at least foundation. Would you like to name some? No.
Yeah.
I would not.
Hey, it's Mark Rohde from The Score. Welcome both. Matt, my question is for you. Justin Fields, do you look at him as a
tailback,
a franchise quarterback, a guy that can be great and lead and win because of?
Yeah, so right now we're looking at everybody through the same lens.
That's not really a good.
So in other words, no, not really.
It's not really a ringing endorsement that I was looking for here.
I'm a big process guy, so I want to be able help the player. So.
All coaches want to help the player.
It's got to be like this, okay? So one of the ways we help.
It's got to be like what he's doing the.
Player A to player Z.
What's the little nursery rhyme about the church and the steeple and you flip it up? He's doing that hand thing.
And then there's the people. You sit down people or something.
Show them the tape. This is what you're going to get. Better.
Show them the tape.
On their own, okay?
We're gonna introduce film. We're gonna watch film.
Did you guys know the Bears don't even own a projector?
Bears still got a Super 8 back there from the 40s.
When you improve that skill,
they have artist renderings of plays. That's what they watch on Mondays.
I'm not getting any confidence that this is the guy to develop.
We're going to modernize everything here.
One thing we talked about, too, is anytime you evaluate.
Ryan, here, let me give you a coherent answer.
The big thing is finding out what they do well. And whatever they do well, maximizing that. And then find their weakness and do what Coach just said in terms of attacking the weakness.
I mean, Justin seems to fumble. He's proficient at it. We're going to build our whole offense around him fumbling.
And then
around
the fumble. The holes and get better as we go.
There are no holes. You saw our offensive line. They don't make holes.
The Bigs Media, congratulations to you both. Ryan, at what point in your process did you realize that you and the Bears were in lockstep about Coach Eberflus? And was there ever any point where you – had a candidate in mind that you wanted to bring in after the three finalists were kind of predetermined?
That's a good question. So when we went through the process, you know, it was a Zoom first, so I was able to give a list of candidates that I really liked. And
that doesn't matter that was on Zoom that you gave a list.
When I got here in person, we brought him in, and the moment he walked in the room, I knew he was the guy.
And birds
when he
chirping,
going plant.
The sky opened.
The big thing
beautiful.
To know is I reach out to a lot of people to make sure I'm lined up the right way. I reach out to people that have done it and been successful at it.
It's a Hallmark movie.
Every single person said, when you know, you know. When you know you got one, you got one. And I'm a guy that when I have conviction about it, it's time to go. So that's kind of how everything.
Maybe could we have talked to more than the three, though? Maybe we found a better one.
Score. So I know you've been a defensive coordinator, so saying an effort-based approach makes sense.
Yeah, everybody says that.
Because it's all about effort.
Sure.
But offensively, how does that apply? Because there's so much more that goes into it, the approach, balance, than just effort.
Yeah, it's a great. That's a great question. A lot of times, Dave, when you talk about, because as you know, plays, defenders, you know, need effort. Offensive players don't need to give any effort.
Wrong. That play was wrong. To me, it's about concepts. You know, so we're going to instill the. You know,
we're not going to run plays. We're going to run concepts.
Concepts.
We got to do a great job of building a base of our foundation.
So the offensive linemen are they're going to line up real tight, and then the running backs are going to get on their shoulders, and then the wide receivers will get on their shoulders, and then Justin will be at the top of the pyramid. We'll just run that fucking thing right up the middle of the field, and if he gets tackled, he's going to fall forward like 30 yards.
That's the concept. Now,
call it the flying Melinda offense.
We'll see. Let me take it back to hits. That's the H, right? The H stands for concept. H concept. With me, coach. I don't. No, shut up.
The H is for concepts. The I is for concepts, not plays. The T is here's a good. It's for touchdowns. Even has a T in it.
Touchdown concepts.
And then the S is for making sure I don't know. We'll figure it out as we go.
How
we
do measure that. And it takes time. I'm hearing a lot of foundation, building blocks. I'm getting nothing. Details
of that, of how we want to operate. And so what you'll see on tape, like, you'll see from the global view of it. You'll
it's like back to school, Rodney Dage. Your answer feels like a C. Just throw some multicolored grass. Just keep talking, man. Just keep saying stuff, and we'll think it's a good answer. Ryan, do you care to add to that?
NBC Sports Chicago. First of all, congratulations.
Stop it. He's been they've been congratulated. Just ask us
from teams around the league for their vacancies.
Why don't the reporters congratulate like Jim Irsay? I want to just congratulate Bill Polian and Jim Irsay.
This place, you know, there was a standard, you know,
a low one,
a championship caliber team, and
well, there was.
That, like I said, my relationship with George in terms of. I got a feel for what this place is all about.
My relationship with Jordan goes all the way back to last.
That got me excited, Wednesday. And I feel like
it goes to the baggage claim B.
The right players in, and the right guard. We're gonna get.
When I saw the thing spinning around with the bags on it, I thought George, this is my guy.
Matt, Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic. I'm wondering when Luke Getsy first kind of got on your radar, and what were some of the qualities that led you to bring him in as your offensive coordinator?
Well, he was available because the Packers lost.
During the course of your time in the NFL, you know, you 13, 14 years now.
I saw the way that offense engineered one touchdown against the Niners in the playoffs. And I said, that's what we need.
And I said, I want the number one guy. But we can't get him. So we got the number two guy.
Number two guy. Because I said, here's what I want. I want an offense that doesn't work when it gets cold and doesn't work against a really good defense. Can you run that? And he said, I got just the plan.
And that goes back to hits, right? That's the T, two. I mean, hits is two. See how it all comes together here now, guys. It's all synergistic. You know, we're building the foundation. A lot of building blocks.
With team. Team.
Team. T. There's a T in team.
He's been on my radar for a while. You know, obviously we go through the process of looking at everybody and talking to interviewing, you know, a lot of guys.
He interviewed three, four guys.
I interviewed so many guys. I interviewed Luke and he was the only one.
Hey, Ryan, Mike Furman from NBC Chicago. Congrats on the jobs. For both of you, I'm hoping you can both weigh in on this. For both of you, it's the first time in this big chair. What do you think the biggest like challenges sized. Will be because of that?
They looked at each other.
Getting up and running in terms of putting our plan, you know, it's
putting
really
our
time,
pants on.
Right? One way to have free agency coming up.
Let me use my own acronym. It's pants.
There's a lot of things that
the P
teams have already been.
The P is for personnel.
Had everything in place. So I think
the A is for
and getting our process
acquiring
in place, and that's
the personnel. The N, what was the question?
What we're going to talk later in terms of how we think and how our meetings are going to go. So it definitely would be time.
Yeah, for me, it's selection of the right people. Putting the right.
For me, it's I coached because, under
you know in this business in
under Jason
business,
Garrett at with Dallas and Frank Reich with Indianapolis. Honestly, both of them seem like they're morons, and I figured they can do what I can do it. So that's why. Relationships.
Did I mention Nick Saban?
Gary Pinkle.
So this is a
Pinky and Sabe.
So the selection process for me, you know, as we're dealing with you know right now the immediate. Process of that is selecting coaches.
Again, this is we know this. We know that any coach has to select coaches. That's not the question.
And us together coming up with the right plan of the people we bring in is
there's a lot of arm movement.
There is a lot of interlocking fingers, a lot of stuff going on.
We're not in a big hurry.
Well, we're in a hurry. We're not in a hurry. We're gonna wait. If it takes till October to get these guys in, we're gonna do it.
I looked at our schedule. We don't have a game until September. We got lots of time.
I was surprised. I said, "Right, wait, we're not playing until September."
I asked. How do you do that? We're looking into joining the USFL, playing some spring games to get ourselves ready. And then we'll move. I don't know if they're going to let us do that or not.
I thought this was an XFL team. This is news to me, guys. It goes back to hits. The coach have to be calm, cool, collected, okay, and focused.
That's what you have to be, right? And the next thing is be inspirational. You have to be a little. Oh, boy, we got another. This is a self-help book.
Yeah. You know, those affirmations, we're going to take post-it notes, put them up on our mirror. It's going to say things like, seize the day. We're going to seize it. Challenge the mindset. That's another one of my mantras.
And that's what you do as a coach. That's what you do as a coach. And at the last part is, when you do this, when you model...
Now, here's the sad part. So he's running through every coaching cliche in the book.
Yeah.
He's been talking for, like 20 minutes. He has made more sense in these 20 minutes than Matt Nagy did in the last three seasons with the Bears.
That's true. I mean, no offense to this, but, I mean, how bad were Dan Quinn and Jim Caldwell if they're like, this is the guy? I don't understand anything.
The Caldwell press conference would have just been him blinking for an hour.
Patrick, yeah. Chicago Sun-Times. We saw you hire
this. I like this question.
There hadn't been one of those in the last regime. Can you tell us?
It's the next one. We asked the question about the coach. Office?
And what is the role of analytics in your evaluation of a team? And are you going to hire
analytics? Haven't met her yet, but I've heard good things.
Or add to it in any way?
Yeah, the first question you asked with this the assistant GM, you know, I thought it was important to bring.
I needed a guy who could do all the shit I don't want to do. More experience. That's Ian Cunningham. Congratulations, Ian.
Ian's background with the Ravens and then the Eagles. He's seen a lot, you know, under Howie Roseman and Ozzie Newsome. And to add that experience is critical. And then, you know, the big thing is I've been in a place with turnover, and there's great people in every building. So I want to take the time to evaluate everyone else and get to know them and see what we have. In terms of analytics, absolutely. And I've been blown away. There's some great analytic people in here. We've had some.
There are?
I mean, we've jumped down rabbit holes talking about different things.
They're in holes.
So I'm excited about that.
They're actually in holes. That's why Matt didn't even know they were there.
It's challenging what our eyes see.
We haven't seen any evidence that there's analytical people in the building.
We can challenge what we see and then make the proper decision based off of that. I've always used the analogy, you know, I know how to get home, right? But I plug it into Waze anyways because it might tell me that there's an accident.
That's not an analogy.
2 miles up the road, I can go a different direction. I can still
and you haven't always used it because Waze is
Waze is kind of new,
yeah.
I believe in it, and I'm excited to get started with it.
From the Chicago Tribune. It must be Finley's second question, where he basically tries to give Eberflus the answer with the question.
Have those different experiences helped you?
Yeah. I mentioned this before.
I mentioned before. You may not have heard it because I was crying. Leadership course, and let me restate it.
One of the topics was called Breaking Authenticity. And it
really I don't know. Have you read Bill Polian has a book. I don't know if you've read it. George gave it to me. Here on page 6.
We've got copies for everyone here. You do owe us, though. They're $38.40 a piece. Write us a check or Venmo. You can Venmo it to George. Write to George. Team and our team.
Ryan, Adam Hogue, NBC Sports Chicago. You kind of explained why you went with Matt in the end. Can you give us a background on why he was on your list initially? That first Zoom call, you mentioned how he was on your list of candidates. Like, what's the background with you guys, or why did you target him?
Well, we have Trace Armstrong as both of our agents. Trace told me I should probably hire him because he'd get the commission.
The beautiful thing about that is what you see on tape usually is a reflection of the person behind it. And it was a fast, violent effort.
I wanted him because he's violent. He needed a violent head coach.
That got my attention. And then just everyone networks and tries to get to know people throughout the league. So I was able just to call him and meet him, you know, years ago just to understand what he was all about, what kind of person he was. And from that, you know, there's a little bit of a relationship. But it went even deeper when we got into the interview process.
That's not really the answer.
Didn't really answer that either. Yeah.
What point in your career journey did you
begin envisioning becoming a general manager? And as an extension of that, going through the interview process a year ago, in
probably
Carolina,
when Lovey cut
what that
me.
Experience did for you
I
in
needed
terms
a
of
job.
Crystallizing your vision and allowing you to figure out how to communicate it going forward.
Yeah, I can't pinpoint like the exact moment, but it was really seeing the progress and the process start to show itself from where we started in Kansas City to where we ended up. That gets you excited because you're like, I can take some of these things. It's not cookie cutter. I can't just take that model and bring it here, but I can bring
wait, no, that's what Matt Nagy did.
And that got me excited.
Right. Oh,
that
wait, that's right. That didn't work.
Didn't work out.
That I can do this. In terms of the interview last year, I would say it just gave me a ton of confidence to be like, I absolutely am ready. You know, because that's the question. Like,
I interviewed for a job. They didn't hire me, and that gave me a lot of confidence.
I was able to put my philosophy together and give it, and it was well received. It didn't happen then, but I knew that at some point it would. So just getting through that process last year just helped me gain more confidence to do it this year. So, yep.
Gentlemen, hi. Cheryl Raystout, WBEZ Radio. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Ryan, you talked about...
Would you give to our pledge drive?
Yep.
This year you only have five...
You've seen this show, All Creatures Great and Small, on Sunday nights on PBS. It's really good. If I can get you a tote bag and the DVDs for both seasons for just $8 a month. What do you say?
But we have to get together and see what that looks like. That comes in different forms and fashions. But, you know, at the end of the day, we have what we have, and we're going to do the
absolute best. We're giving away Downton Abbey coffee mugs.
Those draft picks. And if that means the original draft picks that we have or finding ways to gain more, we'll do that.
Joe Lewis, Barbershare Network. First of all, congratulations to you
Thank
both.
You.
It's
Thank
nice
you.
To meet you. This question's for you, Matt. You talked about no stupid penalties. Unfortunately, the Bears.
We got a lot of those.
The past several years have been making costly penalties.
Have you met Mario times. Williams yet?
How do you break down a foundation? And really, how do you stop that from happening with players who are in the game when you're not in there physically? How are you able to really do that, I'm really asking?
Yeah, I think it's through education. You know, we're teachers. You know, coaches are really just teachers. That's all we are. We're just teaching football. So you educate. You educate.
Oh, wow.
Film. You educate through having officials out there. You educate.
You educate through having officials out there.
What the penalty did to us.
It screwed us. We had a first down. Now it's third and 80.
For a winning sense. So I think that's important. That's just the education process. And you always just touch on it. We'll have a situations tape, you know, where we talk about being smart players, you know, every single week where we go through it with the players, teach them the rules, you know, what's allowed.
Teach the players the rules. So we checked the – nobody's ever done that with the Bears. They didn't even know they were supposed to have 11 guys. I see that on a lot of punts, I guess.
Welcome to Chicago.
We're buying NFL rule books.
I saw on the Bears Twitter feed that you showed up for work before sunrise on your first day. So I'm wondering what time was that at when you actually kind of showed up at the building and – second part of that would be, why is that important to you to make that?
Why the fuck did you think you needed to get to work at 6 o'clock in the morning? I did like this answer because it's like, basically, I got a lot of work done early and late in the day because George isn't around to annoy me.
It's more than first impression. It's a routine. I think if you asked a lot of people about me, I'm curious and I
get up so I don't have to change the kids' diapers.
And
I go to work.
What I do know from those that I've worked for is your time's limited, and if you can capture a couple hours in the morning and a couple hours at night when things are quiet, you can really maximize how much you do. And that's important to me because, you know, in the NFL, things pop up all the time. So you're going to get pulled in different directions. So I just know I can guarantee for the most part that those parts of the day, I can get things done.
I'm Mark Potash from Chicago Sun-Times. My question's for Ryan. Every GM says he wants to build through the draft, but how do you do that? What is the key to it? What is the key to evaluation? Why are some GMs better than others? And what have you learned? And what do they do in Kansas City that you learned that can make you better than others?
Would you
and
draft
to that
good
end,
players?
What was your impact?
Not bad.
On evaluation of Mahomes.
That's the difference.
Yeah, go back. So goes back to hits.
Through the draft, I think what's key is one knowing what scheme you're running and finding players that fit. That's first and foremost. I think a lot of players get missed if you bring someone in. If I bring someone in going against what we're running, well, then it's not tied together, and that's hard to fit. The types of players in terms of their background, what they're about, how passionate they are about football is important too. That's the other place where, you know, misses can happen in terms of do they love football? Because this is hard. This is really hard. Being a player is very hard. And you got to love it to get up in the morning and want to be the best you can be.
To get up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
And then the piece I hit
on. So you can go to work before anybody else.
Evaluation.
Yeah.
You got to be able to prioritize certain positions because of supply and demand and place them on the board where you can get them. I think.
Well, I did like that he said we're going to draft guys that fit our scheme, which seems to be a new concept for the Bears. Didn't seem to do that in the past.
Any player. The beautiful thing of the process that I'm coming from, and
I'm just going to fall in love with a player, whether he fits or not, and I'm just going to trade a bunch of draft picks to get
him. Exactly.
Watch tape, and it's open.
And hopefully that guy is going to be under 5'7" tall, because I'd love to load up my team with as little guys as possible.
That's the only way to get to that. So that process was special.
Oh, wait, that was the other guy.
A lot of people spoke up. There's different factors that went into it. So I'll give credit to the process. So.
Okay.
Question for Matt, Jason Leisure again. You're conveying in this press conference at least a very calm, business-like demeanor. I'm curious how much of that is indicative of your coaching style and management style.
And somewhat would you like to just start screaming at all of us?
Yeah.
Actively looking for a head coaching job, or were you waiting back for the right opportunity to come to you?
Yeah, in terms of my demeanor, it is what it is. I do want to, be intense and focus on the job at hand for sure. I am detail-oriented, meaning that I will hold guys to the standard, and I do it the right way because I do it through my heart and making sure I'm trying to find the best way to make them better.
What's the other way people do it?
Last question, I do believe that when you go through this process, you are where your feet are. And exactly that. You do your best job where you are. So if you're the defensive coordinator at Missouri, you are doing the very best job you can. If you're
the defensive coordinator at Missouri, they're not going to let you call plays at Kansas. I found out the hard way. I tried. They wouldn't let me.
One action at a time, one dealing at a time. Have a long view.
One foot in front of the other.
Have a long view where you want to go.
The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single HITS. Let's go through that one more time.
Matt Zahn from CBS Chicago. This question is for Matt. You mentioned right off the top to your players to get their track shoes on because you're going to be doing a lot of running. Now, do you ever worry about sort of a message like that kind of wearing thin with players after a while? And do you feel like you have to change?
This is a brilliant question. Ask the guy in his introductory press conference. Do you think the players are sick and tired of you already? I know you haven't met any of them, but do you think they're already tuning you out because you want them to run?
I think based on this press conference, your message is worn thin already, Coach.
On the ability of maximum effort. You'll never know how good your football team's going
to
be.
There's a rumor I just started in my head that you're looking to resign. Is that true?
So, to me, that's never going to get old. Okay, I might say it a different way. I might say track shoes or some other type of shoe. But
ballet slippers. Clogs.
Flats.
Crocs. Get your Crocs.
A bedroom slipper, it can do the same thing. It's just different, it's just different messages, but it's the same message.
Guys, got the Vikings this week, steel-toed boot week.
Matt, Patrick Finley from the Sun-Times.
Here we go.
You're a first-time head coach. Your offensive coordinator is a first-time offensive coordinator.
That's scary.
As you fill out your staff, are you going to put an emphasis on experience? Would you like a former head coach here to help you along the way? Would you like somebody with 20 years of coordinator experience?
Rod Marinelli?
I'm throwing out
hypothetical. Whose initials are RM?
Why would you literally just ask him?
To make the experience level.
It's clearly what you wanted him to talk about.
What I want.
Yeah. I wouldn't have answered it either if he asked me that
way. Talking about something that's different. So you're talking about chemistry now. So chemistry is getting people to work together. Okay.
We're going
to
form covalent bonds.
Having able to partnership, have a brotherhood with another guy. Because the offense.
All right. You got your protons.
To me,
and you got your electrons. And then there's a neutron and there's a nucleus. Now, I don't think I have to spell it out to any of you guys, huh?
Soulmates, but we're also soulmates. Did you guys see Breaking Bad? You remember Walter White? So the chemistry. All right, now so you see where I'm going here. No, Coach, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I missed it. This was his unfortunate soulmates and cellmates corollary. That's why I thought, can't wait for the obvious shirt to come out for the Bears prison rape defense.
It's a combination of all those things. And we'll take it one step further. Okay, so you got offense, defense, and kick.
Let me take it one step too far. Here we go.
Okay, because I've been on staffs where the offense is over here, the defense is over here, and the special teams is over there.
Yeah, that was the 85 Bears. It worked. It worked great.
So, Patrick, I don't have to tell you. You can't have the offense over here, the defense over there, and special teams over there. You got to have the special teams over here, the offense over here, and the defense over here. That's all you got to do. We're literally just going to move the lockers around.
Sometimes your linebackers need to throw passes.
Going to start winning. Now, it's funny. One of the things that Mark Trestman did in his second year that famously helped speed up the process of him losing the team was he completely reassigned lockers through the whole locker room so that offensive and defensive guys were commingled, and the players hated it so much. Great. That's what I thought of when he was doing that. Can't have the offense over here and the defense over here and the special teams over here.
It would have been great if he said, you know, I learned from a guy named Mark Trestman. He was a great guy. I think we're going to take a lot of what he did.
We're looking at him. Bring him in to help us run the offense. And just team morale.
Just, you know.
Guys love him. Everybody, the guys gravitate towards a Mark Trestman.
It goes back to hits, guys. I just keep saying it. What?
It's from The Athletic. This is for you, Ryan. As you're weighing your situation, comparing the Bears with other teams, namely the Vikings, I'm curious, how appealing was it to have a young quarterback on his rookie contract, and what do you think you were left with here from the previous regime in terms of building blocks? Pieces for your team?
Yeah, there's always, you know, talented players, you know, in every organization, and that's especially true here. I'm excited, you know, to have Justin and to put him in a position to succeed and get players in the building that are going to help amplify his ability.
Yeah, unlike the assholes that are on the roster now, that none of them help.
Hey, man, Mark Grody again from The Score. The Bears have run a 3-4 defense for the past several years. Are you open to keeping that, or will you go with sort of what you have?
You believe in a man-to-man or zone defense?
Because man-to-man is all we've ever run around here. It's all that ever going to work. But will we have elements in pieces? You know, Matt, there's two kinds of dumb.
We're going to look at the talents and skill level of the players we have, and we're going to coach them to help those guys. And we'll fit our scheme around those players. But the foundational pieces won't change in terms of how we play.
Coach, don't you think the previous staff tried to do the same thing? That's like, why are you different is my question.
ESPN. This is a question for Ryan. I had a follow-up about your process. And congratulations to you guys as well.
Yeah, thanks.
You said that the moment that Matt walked into the room, you knew that he was the guy. What did you see in Matt's coaching experience, you know, as his experience as a defensive coordinator, that he'd be the best fit for this team with a young quarterback to develop?
Good question.
It was his standard. He had a high standard for what he wanted out of a team, and he had a plan to raise the bar in terms of what we were going to become. His passion for the game, you know, his discipline, those are some of the key ingredients to get a team off the ground. And
did the other coaches just like have a we don't give a shit attitude? You know, it's his passion that really stood out. The other guys, really nah, well, whatever.
That was important in a plan that wasn't just short term, but there was long term thought into it as well.
Oh, good. Short term.
David Hoggin from The Score. So when you talk about inspiring and challenging and encouraging players.
Oh, it's David Hogg.
Does that still work with professional athletes? Aren't they mostly interested in how you can improve them rather than inspire them at this stage of their careers?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I believe that's part of it. You know, if you're going to improve them, you have to inspire them to change because everything comes from the heart. You know, when you think about how we do
things. Blood. All the blood comes from the heart.
From the heart.
If you're not pumping blood through your body, you're not going to be able to tackle anybody. You know, right? I mean, come on, Dave. Let's think.
Your heart's divided into compartments.
Listen better. Right? We always have those hopes, right? You know, so
that's that age, hopes and heart.
How do you do that? Well, first of all, look at the mistakes people make. Well, they understand, you know, what they want to do. Uh-oh. Lose weight, read, write,
oh, here we go.
But they don't understand how. How do you do it, right? So you have to study. You have to learn. You got to make sure you do that, right? The next thing is that people, when they have hopes and habits, the next mistake they make is they get going and it's just
habits.
Hard. They don't see results.
Nuns use habits.
They stop. We've all done that. I've done it right with losing weight.
He would love the Bill Belichick New Year's resolution.
The last thing is
you
have a healthy identity of yourself because that's the most important thing. And that comes from the inside. Your healthy identity of yourself creates what? Wise decisions.
Here it comes.
Wise decisions creates healthy habits. So there you go, back and forth, and it goes around and around. So
he's just running in circles.
You got your hopes to habits.
Get your hopes.
Turns now, once you get your habits established, it turns to victories. And that's what it does. So
what?
To me, it's you're dealing with a person.
Okay. Hopes? A person okay. Hopes. That's the H.
To habits.
To habits, that's the other H. To victories.
That's a V. Where's the V Mark fit in?
Again, Pro Football Weekly and Shaw Media. This is really for both of you.
Really for both of you.
You both had multiple interviews, and I'm wondering how much time or did you have time to spend studying the roster, the talent already here, and how much of an impact did
they have? No, we didn't want to. I don't know who's on the team. Do they have a team?
Any interview, you need to take the time to know, you know, what
kind of question is that?
So that was, you know, a big factor in terms
of... I played a couple of games of Madden to figure out who's on the roster. Yeah. I realized I was playing Madden 2012.
When you look at it, you know, what's the potential? I know the potential is a taboo word in football, but you know, what's the dynamic of the team?
The what?
You know, starting with
the dynamic?
George, you know,
George.
Yeah, it all starts with George.
Wait a minute.
Oh no, God, I hope not.
Certainly you look at
that. I mean, you got a dynamic leader like George McCaskey. He's nothing he can't do.
Deion Miller again from ABC7 here in Chicago. Matt, my question for you is, obviously you've gotten buy-in from defensive players. How do you get buy-in from an entire team and in knowing how to establish the right culture?
Yeah, I just show them the why.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
So all you do is you show them why it is. And how does what I'm asking... And what we're going to ask
Coach Matt Nagy Flus.
He's
just introduced himself.
To the standards. Why? What is winning? It equals winning. So the elite teams in the league do this, and this is why they win. You know, coupled with obviously the talent.
Because he should have said, because I understand that the idiot you had before was always looking for the whys, could never find them. I know what they are. I already got them. I already got the whys.
I found the whys. That's the W in hits.
They were in the rabbit holes with the analysts.
Whys. That means ways. We talked about ways, whys. See how it's all coming? It's full circle. You see, you got to go short term and long term.
It's
exhausting.
So I think that was proof that the Bears PR staff didn't do any prep with these guys.
Yeah.
A few things you need to try not to say the word collaboration.
Yeah, which they did later.
Don't go looking for the whys. Just don't.
Just don't do that. Yeah. Oh, there it is.
So there's another half hour of this. I don't think we're going to get to. So they finished up, and then George came. The last question they got asked, I think it was the last one, was simple question, just a little housekeeping. How long are your contracts?
Yeah, right.
And Matt answered, which I thought was, I would have left that for the GM, and basically said, I'm not going to tell you. And it's very clear the reason why I'm going to tell them was they were told they're not supposed to tell people.
Right.
You could tell. It was 100%. It was
100%.
The look on their face was, and this is a very reasonable question. They tell me I can't answer it.
Yeah.
So then they asked George, and he's like, well, it's up to them. If they want to tell you, they can tell you. I just don't think we should tell you.
Yeah,
like, we're thanks
gonna
respect, a lot, asshole.
We're gonna respect their decision. Will you shut up? It's just again. Yeah, it goes back to like, what is anything really changing, or is this the same crap?
And that was interesting. So the highlight of the entire press conferences were at the very end. They brought Justin Fields up.
That was great. He was awesome.
And he gets asked a question about what, you know, how are you going to be able to work with a defensive head coach? He's basically like, well, I'm looking forward to it. He said, because, you know, I'm looking at defenses every day, and I've got a head coach who can explain to me, this is why this guy is here, this is what they're looking for on this, this is what they're going to do here.
Yeah, great answer.
I'll know how they're going to try to attack us, and that'll help me. And then he got asked about if he had met the great Luke Getsy yet. And he said, I haven't met him, but we're going to talk. He said, this was very telling. He goes, I'm looking forward to working with an offensive coordinator who that's all he has to worry about. He doesn't have other duties. He's just going to be worried on our offense and us getting better.
Right.
And not having to try to run the whole team. Leave it to the 22-year-old rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
To give the two answers that if either of the guys at the podium all day had answered, then people would have been like, oh, it actually seems like they have a plan.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, that should have been one of Matt Eberflus's answers about your defensive coach. How are you supposed to coach the offense? Well, right. All I do is study offenses all day, every day. Yeah. I've been doing it for 30 years. That's all I do. I look at how are you trying to attack us? What do you want to do? And I know where defenses are vulnerable, and I'm going to talk to the offensive coaches and be like, if they're running this defense, if I was running it, we'd be screwed if he did this or this or this.
Yeah, and I'm a good enough educator, teacher, that I can explain to the quarterback what's happening here, what to look for, and that's how we're going to get better on offense.
Instead, we get, okay, well, the H.
Get is... the H. And then you take a lift over to O'Hare. You see what I mean? And then we're going to come back for a circle because we've got habits. You got habits. You got halves. You got habits. You got to lose weight, right? You got to lose 20 pounds. It's, what?
Get the habits. That becomes hope. And that becomes a victory, hope, right? Is that the order? No, that's not it. Oh, we're screwed.
Habits plus hope equals
victory.
Guys,
we got till the second week of September to figure this out. We better get on this.
Well, I don't know.
There they are, the new brain trust of your Chicago Bears. I will say that of all of the press conferences these guys ever do, this is the least important one.
Yeah, I agree.
They sure. don't have – you're at a weird disadvantage. You don't really have anything to talk about.
Yeah.
They haven't worked out a single player yet.
Right.
They don't really know what they have. They think they know what they have. They don't really know what they have. They don't have their entire coaching staff in. So they can't sit in great detail and tell you, all right, this is basically how we're going to try to attack teams. They can't do that. All they were supposed to do in this press conference was, like, not throw up on themselves.
Right.
And they managed to accomplish that. So
they did it.
Congratulations, you did it. You survived the first press conference.
Right, right.
It's the press conference with the lowest bar for them. Like, it's the easiest it's ever going to get.
Absolutely.
Because nobody...
Everybody's happy.
I guarantee if we went back and watched the introductory Matt Nagy press conference...
It'd be the same thing.
He's just spouting a bunch of gibberish.
Yeah.
We were eating it up because we thought we were getting the Chiefs offense. We were all excited about it. Like, oh my God, finally, they're going to run a real offense. Woo, it's going to be great. Yeah. And it turned out to be bullshit.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, they seem like good guys, smart guys, character guys. I mean, I guess that's what you got to kind of get out of it. But yeah, it goes back to, like, it would be nice if there was, as someone pointed out, you got a first-time GM, first-time head coach, first-time offensive coordinator. There's no one this is a criticism not of them, but of the Bears structure. There is no one there to mentor these guys. I mean, there's no one, you know, that they can rely on. And that's what Ryan Pace was faced with.
Yep.
And that didn't work so well.
Yeah, I mean, if I were Ryan Poles, I would be pushing to hire somebody, even if it's a consultant role, for the front office, somebody who's been a GM before. Somebody who I can, even if I'm not asking them to help me make a decision, I'm just going to run process shit by them.
Right.
And be like, all right, here's what we're faced with. What do I need to worry about? What should I be thinking about with this?
Yeah.
I wrote a whole thing last week about what was Ryan Pace's single biggest failure. Was that because the Bears front office structure put him at the top of the pyramid, he didn't have anybody to tell him when he was full of shit.
Yep.
And his biggest failing was he didn't seek it out. He was comfortable thinking that his answer was right, and now nobody can challenge me on it. And so I'm gonna draft the worst of the three first round quarterbacks. I'm gonna trade up to do it. I'm not gonna tell my head coach about it because I think he's gonna have pushback, and I don't want to have to defend this pick. I'm just gonna make it because I'm so smart.
Right.
The way the Bears set it up, you have to be disciplined enough to create that for yourself, which is stupid. But smart guys will do it. And they'll put people on that staff and basically tell them, all right, here's what I want to do. Tell me why it's wrong.
Yeah.
And we're going to argue it out. And if you can't tell me why it's wrong, then we're probably going to think it's right. And if you can tell me why it's wrong, we got to figure out, okay, if we don't do this, what are we going to do? In a normal organization, there would literally be a person whose job it was to do that, who didn't report to you, whose livelihood wasn't dependent on keeping you happy.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
Right.
And then if you're Eberflus, I mean, most guys he's talked to, it looks like they're probably going to bring like Bill Callahan in to be the offensive line coach. Bill can tell you how to get fired as a head coach in the NFL and at Nebraska. He's got experience doing that.
Yeah.
He coached with Rod Marinelli in Dallas, and it sounds like he'll bring Rod in, if not to be the defensive coordinator, at least to be like the defensive line coach. Because honestly, I don't know. I'd be seeking a lot of head coaching advice from the first guy ever to go 0-16 in the NFL. But people did seem to like Rod. One of the things I liked about this, and I know it seems very meatballish, but it's stupid that they don't do it. It felt like both guys, both the new guys, were looking for ways to at least send a signal to former Bears that we would like to talk to you.
Did you think they sent that signal? Because I agree with you. I would love for them to do that.
I felt that Eberflus was doing it by literally constantly naming Urlacher, Briggs, Peppers, and Tillman, and how the defense he runs basically started with Lovie.
Yeah.
Because
Poles did it too, I guess, when he mentioned that story about the tornado and all that stuff. Yeah.
And so, and you don't have, they're not asking for much.
No.
Basically, what they want is for somebody to, you know, it seems really stupid to me that they don't have, like, some kind of, even if it's mostly for show.
Right.
But, like, an alumni advisory board.
Yeah.
You put some guys on it. You meet twice a year. You basically what it is a chance for them to sit in a room and throw a bunch of questions at you. Like, why are you fucking this up? How come you aren't doing this? But they leave feeling like they're empowered. And they're your ambassadors. They're the people that go out. I mean, like, for all of their faults, that's one thing the Cubs are really good at.
Absolutely.
Is making Ryan Sandberg feel like he's valued. And they brought Andre Dawson back when he got fired by the Marlins. And they keep Dempster around for some unknown reason. But they do it with other guys. And it's just smart. Your fans love those guys. You keep them happy. They show up at games and fans go and get their pictures taken with them and talk about them. And they're less likely to tell everybody you're full of shit.
Right.
Because they feel like, well, at least this guy listens to me. He might not, the things he does, I might not agree with all the time, but they give me a chance for some input. And the Bears, because George, I think, it felt to me like George is worried about getting yelled at by former players. So he doesn't want to talk to him. And you're never going to get yelled at by a guy you won't talk to. Because he's so insecure about his job and that he doesn't know how to do it. He doesn't want any feedback. Which probably is why him and Ryan Pace got along so well. So I don't think Ryan wanted any feedback either. So I don't know how long that'll last. It's hard to do that if the head cheese doesn't want you to do it. You're going to be very limited in what you can do. But it seems like they ought to be able to at least talk to some former players, find two or three guys that you feel like this guy actually has some valuable input. And there are guys, especially if they're going to run the defense they're going to run. I mean, why wouldn't you bring Peanut in to hang out for a couple of days with the defensive backs and have Lance Briggs come and he can explain how, you know, the last preseason game, you can skip that and go open a restaurant in California. Nobody's going to complain. It's going to work out great. That'll be fine. Yeah. And if you get drunk and you wreck your car on the Edens, just run. Just run. Just go. The worst you'll get is leaving the scene of an accident. You know, important life lessons that guys like him can impart. But there they are. Now we don't have to worry about the Bears again until the draft. I think it was on that AM 1000 interview where they asked Poles flat out, basically the question you asked, how are you supposed to build in the draft if you don't have any draft picks? He basically said, well, there's ways to get more. And we're going to have to do some of them. We're going to have to trade down and just accumulate picks. We need more bites of the apple. And the thing he left unsaid was, it's hard to trade NFL players. It just is. But you might have a player or two who can get you a second or third round pick or a fourth round pick, whatever.
Right.
All right, so now the inaugural press conference is over, and now these guys actually get to work, and they'll actually do the important stuff now.
Well, I hope that one thing that comes out of this is that they hire more than one assistant GM, that they really build out this front office. You know, they need it. They need an assistant GM for analytics. They need one for sports performance, nutrition, training, all these sorts of things. They really need
And I wonder, was like, you know, okay, we'll give you one assistant GM, you know, but that's it. Cause you know, that's all George is willing to do.
Cause that was my suggestion, was that if I were Ryan Poles today, I would have laid out what I want my staff to look like, even if George hadn't signed off on it yet, and basically put the screws to him and be like, okay, now we got to hire all these people. Cause I promised we were going to, and we're going to look stupid. If we don't, you don't want to look stupid, do you, George?
Huh? That would have been great. That would have been great. Yeah.
And maybe he doesn't need to, maybe he actually got assurances.
Maybe
it really feels like George just wants to be left alone. Like, and so I think he probably is open. It's weird though. There, I think the pushback must come from Ted about the other presidency. He wants to be the only president. Because otherwise it doesn't make any sense. It's, you know, the Cubs went through, we keep going back to the Cubs, but the Cubs went through the same thing. And so did the Bulls. They wore their small front offices like a badge of honor. Look what we accomplished with small front offices. And then you realize you're not accomplishing anything.
You accomplished nothing.
And then both of them finally started spending, and all of a sudden they got good again because they were actually staffed. They could do things the way all the teams they were competing against were doing them because they had the people. And one of the things I don't think people understand, people are like, well, it's not that important that they have a president. It is. the reason it's important is under the Bears structure, in most teams, the GM's sole responsibility is the roster.
Right.
That's all they worry about, 24 hours a day. Right. They worry about the current roster. They worry about who's going to be a free agent on their team. They're looking at who's going to be free agents on other teams. They're looking at the draft. They're looking at all that stuff. They're looking at the freaking taxi squad, and that's all they're doing. Yeah. And they do it obsessively. Because of the way the Bears structure is, there's nobody above the GM. The Bears GM also has to worry about stupid shit. Like, they're supervising the equipment manager and his teams and the freaking groundskeepers.
Yeah.
And the barber. They added that barber, and he reports to the general manager. And it's like, okay, it probably doesn't suck up a huge amount of your time, but the fact that it occupies any of it puts you at a disadvantage.
Well,
and you just need another person who can be in between there so that when the stuff gets to you, it's really important.
Exactly. I mean, we heard one of the reasons McCaskey felt so loyal to Pace is because he was the driving force behind the new Hallis Hall.
Yeah.
Well, he shouldn't be. And literally, as he's picking barbershops.
Yep.
You don't want him doing that.
The GM's role in that should be to sit down with whoever's in charge of the project and go, these are the things we need.
Yeah, we need this weight room, this size. We need these fields. We need this, that. Boom.
And then
you
come to me every couple of weeks with a status report.
Yeah.
And I got this roster to worry about. But you know, instead, Pace was picking out fucking paint colors and going over what the seats in the auditorium look like and all that stuff. And he probably was getting a kick out of it. But that's not what his fucking job is.
Exactly. Well, and we talk about a lot of big things, big reasons to have it. But there's also something like, let's go back to the Thanksgiving, the infamous Thanksgiving week when Nagy was fired. And the Bears decided they're just going to ignore it, which was the dumbest thing in the world to do. And that whole story festered out of control. So what if something like that happens again? A president of football operations, clearly it was going to be his call. Okay. And hopefully he'll make the right call. We're going to just put out a press release, deny this rumor, and that's it.
Yep.
But who makes that call now? Because now, we've got a GM, but we've got a president over here too. So whose call is something like that?
Remember, we found out that when that happened, they were having a board meeting.
Yeah, right.
It was like actually the most perfect timing for that to happen because the hardest thing is to get everybody together.
Mm-hmm.
They were literally all in the same room.
Right.
They could have talked about it for 2 minutes and said, we need to send out a 2-line press release that says we've made no decision about Matt Nagy's job status. Sure. That's it.
Right.
And Greenberg pointed out that if they were the Theo Cubs, Theo wouldn't even bother with that. Theo would have picked up the phone. He would have called a reporter, and he would have said, "It's
You're
not true. I'm sure you have a source who insists it's true. It's not." And then he would have called 2 other reporters so that the story would get out that it's not true, and it would have been squished by.
It.
I think I heard it at like 9:30 in the morning. By 10 o'clock, it would have been over. But the Bears. It was 3 days later before the Bears finally addressed it.
So who? How's the same thing is going to happen this time around? You know, we can't even get, like, you know, again, we're sitting here, like, they won't tell us the length of the contracts.
Yeah.
You know, because as you pointed out, Ted clearly said, don't tell him.
Yeah.
Because you could see Ryan. And Matt, the questions asked Ryan and Pat, look at Ryan and Matt, look at each other like, we're not supposed to answer this.
Yep. Yeah. That answer was not, I'm not going to tell you. That answer was, oh shit, we're not supposed to say. Yeah. You could see it in their faces. Yes.
They like, this is the question. They told us, oh, crap. Question,
this is what we're not supposed to.
Right. Yeah.
Now, and then somebody asked George later, they're like, look, we knew what Nagy and Paces were until a certain point. You know, they had both gotten contracts through 2021, and then all of a sudden there was the rumor of they'd gotten extensions, and that's when they wouldn't. That's when they stopped. Right. They didn't want people to. They don't want. I think they don't want it because they don't want people to be able to speculate about the job security of different people. But you know what? They're going to speculate about it anyway. You might as well have the fucking information out there.
It makes no sense. It makes no sense.
Yeah, they're so busy fighting these meaningless little battles right. that they can't focus on the most important stuff, which is winning football games.
Well, I think it was Olin. I think Olin Cruz made the comment, like, you know, every day is a soap opera in Hell's Hall. That's the culture there. And so how do you change that? How does a guy who's not a president change that when there is a president, you know, down the hall? Who's the guy kind of responsible for all the soap opera ish stuff that has happened over the years?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, and so then, you know, Ted is, there will be all of the, I mean, people are looking forward to them building the stadium in Arlington Heights, but I'm sure they'll make a mess out of that too. They'll be tripping over their dicks a daily basis on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's.
I don't know. I feel like, I think these, you know, we should feel good enough. I think that the Bears will return to competence as an organization. I don't know that we're going to return to greatness. Yeah. And I haven't heard any. I haven't heard anything that gives me any kind of assurance that Eberflus is the guy to develop Justin Fields. I just don't. I don't have it. I don't think they gave it to anybody. I don't think anybody has an assurance. And as I said, that to me is the most important question. That is the hardest thing to do in the NFL is to develop an elite, you know, a Hall of Fame level quarterback. The Bears haven't done it in 158 years or whatever.
I mean, the way to do it is to look at the teams that have non offensive minded coaches who develop quarterbacks. And basically they all did it the same way. John Harbaugh was not intimately involved in the development of Lamar Jackson. He let Greg Roman do it because that was Greg's job. Belichick is always, he can't ever use him as an example because that guy could coach every position on the team if he had to.
Right.
But you look at a guy like Sean McDermott in Buffalo, and they hired Brian Daboll to go. They literally, when they drafted Josh Allen, they fired their offensive coordinator right after the draft. Said, sorry, you're not the guy to do this.
Right.
We've got a hotshot young quarterback. They went out and got Brian Daboll.
Which, See, and if this were Brian Daboll as the head coach, I'd feel a lot better about the ability to develop Justin Fields. And I think you would too.
Yeah. I would feel better about it. It's certainly not impossible.
No.
You know, hopefully Luke Getsy is the guy to develop Justin Fields. And honestly, I think the reason I'm not as concerned about it is I honestly don't think there's a lot of development to do with Justin Fields. What they need to do is put an actual coherent offense in and let him run it. One that's actually geared to the things he can do and let him run the fucking offense, because they didn't do that last year. They built an offense. Well, they didn't really build an offense for anybody, but it was far more geared to Andy Dalton than it was Justin Fields. And they wasted the entire preseason by saying Andy Dalton's our QB1. And then by week three, wasn't anymore. And Fields is trying to run this unwieldy offense that wasn't built for him. And he's trying to make it work. And then they're trying to rebuild it on the fly. And nobody in there had any brains. They couldn't do it.
Yeah.
That if you at least go into this season with the plan that Justin Fields is the quarterback and this is the way we want to attack teams with him, I don't think there's this huge, like, I don't think they don't have to turn Justin Fields into a great quarterback. They have to let him become a great quarterback. There's a big difference. Basically just What are the things you do best? Let's do that.
Yeah. So we'll see.
I mean, there's a huge difference, I think, between, because there was a big discussion this morning about is Jimmy Garoppolo done in San Francisco? And I think the reason he might not be is simply that while Trey Lance is probably every bit as talented as Justin Fields, he's not nearly as developed as Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm.
And can the 49ers, who have everything else on that team to win a Super Bowl except for the quarterback, can they just hand the team over to him next year? Now, they know the answer to that. We don't. If they had Justin Fields instead, I guarantee you they'd feel a whole lot more comfortable just handing mm-hmm. him the ball.
Right.
Which is ironic considering they could have drafted Justin Fields and they didn't. They chose Trey Lance instead.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like Justin is so good that it makes this a lesser chore for them to accomplish. But they still have to do it. They still have to be committed to do it the right way and not come in with, you know, the worst thing would be, and I don't think he's going to do this, would be, I guess he's like, all right, this is the stuff Aaron Rodgers ran. Well, because Justin Fields isn't Aaron Rodgers. And you know what? Nobody is.
Right.
But he also didn't only coach Aaron Rodgers in his career. He's had other normal, more mortal quarterbacks.
It would be give me some reassurance though. If the head coach, you know, it's when asked about Justin Fields, would have been like, you're not given what we're going to looking at all the, we're looking at all the quarterbacks. No.
Yeah. Yeah. He gave the football coach answer.
Yeah.
Which is everybody competes for their spots.
Because the one thing Justin
Fields... And we all know that's not true, but every football coach wants to say that.
Because the one thing we do know Justin Fields does need is he needs someone to believe in him and someone to support him and have his back.
Well, and one of the things they're really going to need to address is if you're going to build your offense around Justin Fields, and obviously you are, because shouldn't your backup quarterback have similar traits to him?
You should. Yes, he should. Well, hopefully Ryan Poles will help with this, having, you know, build an offense around Mahomes.
I mean, I know Nick Foles has it yet another. They redid his contract when they traded for him. He's got another year. And he's fine as a backup quarterback. But if, say, Justin Fields gets hurt in week 12.
Yeah.
Are you really going to put Nick Foles in and then have to redo the entire offense?
Right.
Say, oh, we can't run. Here's all the shit we can't run now because we have him.
Yeah.
Which
of course, that's what they did last year, right? They built an offense around Andy Dalton and Nick Foles, not Justin Fields, and then asked him to run that off.
And then they played Justin Fields in basically every game after that.
Yeah.
Except when they got him killed and he had to miss some games. Mm-hmm. Like you saw that it took Baltimore like 3 years before they found Tyler Huntley, who is not Lamar, but he's at least similar enough that they basically run the same plays. In fact, to the point where he's a better passer, there are people who are like, well, he gets paid nothing. Right. He's like 80% as good as Lamar. Are we better off paying 80% of Lamar nothing and be able to build the rest of the team up or than 100% of Lamar at $30 million a year? They're actually having those discussions.
Man.
I don't think the Bears have to worry about that with Nick Foles.
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so. All right. Well, we'll see.
All right. Well,
we'll see what they do.
Can't wait for draft night when there's. Oh, that's right. They don't have a first round draft pick. Although I don't. This is the one time I'm not upset about it. Because that was the price to get their quarterback that they haven't had forever.
Right.
So that's fine. You know, not having a number one pick, most GMs would have made a big effort to try to find extra third and fourth rounders.
Mm-hmm.
But no. In fact, the Bears were, he was busy trading a sixth rounder for Jakeem Grant.
Yeah,
right. Pro Bowler Jakeem Grant, which did obviously a whole hell of a lot of good to have a Pro Bowl kick returner on a 6-win football team.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Ryan. Enjoy your time somewhere else, wherever the hell it is.
Yeah, right.
All right, well, if you need your football fix, you know, there's a great movie on Netflix. It's called The Home Team with Kevin James as Sean Payton. And I did watch it.
Yeah?
And it's a movie.
It's a movie, okay.
It's a movie.
All right.
It's actually not terrible. It's also not good. But it's a movie.
There you go.
All right. Well, thanks, Mike.
All right. Thanks, Andy.
There's learning lessons through all of it.
Many of us have herpes.